Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Good. 985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. It's a contest to find the news with a Bruins superfan. Mm-hmm. They will get tickets to Monday night's Game 1 in the Stanley Cup Final. And we have Xanadu, the man who skates around with his flag. We have the Ultimate Warrior. And we have Big Scary Man Guy, the contestant. Then we just have the BWO.
The Bruins World Order.
That just steamed in here. We didn't know. Yeah. Our three contestants is our... Bruins motorcycle guy or David Back, but he has a back filled of tattoos and a motorcycle that is decked out in Bruins gear.
Yep.
We have Chief Wanamakem Cheer, which who has a, the most elaborate costume. He's the only costume of the three of them, which is a headdress and a cape and several other accoutrements. And then we have probably the most passionate guy, which is...
just Bruins guy.
Bruins guy. Who has
a stick. And it's... Yes, the sound of your impending doom.
All right. So Big Scary Man Guy and the Ultimate Warrior, they said that they liked Stick Guy.
No, yeah, the Stick Guy. And then we had Xanadu say, Chief Wanamakem Cheer. And as well as the Bruins, even though you do not really have any kind of say in this, I liked it. All so right. So shall we go ahead and pick a winner, Fred?
Yeah. Because you go first because I'm really torn for several reasons.
Okay. The first thing I'll say... is that not BSing, all three of you guys are unbelievable. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah. Everyone in here has done a fantastic job.
Like, this was next level stuff beyond even my more ridiculous expectations.
Yeah, we expected chaos, and you guys brought it.
And I appreciate it. And I think our celebrity judges will agree that any three of you would be worthy to join the Bruins Superfan Avengers, correct?
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. That being said, we do have to pick a winner, and this is going to be a tough one. I got to give it to a guy who came in here and epitomizes everything that is to be a super fan. Not only does he have flair, and not only does he have things that are inexplicable, like weird music that plays around his neck, but the gentleman also has the thickest New England accent I've ever heard in my life, so there's no doubt that he is a diehard. I give my vote to Chief Wanamakem Cheer.
All right, here's my thought process. And this is, I don't know who I'm going to pick when I'm saying this, so this is in no particular order. The Bruin guy is so prolific on YouTube that you can tell he's great. I really don't know who I'm going to pick, that he's very passionate. Now, if you want someone who's going to get on the Jumbotron, then you got to go Chief Wanamakem Cheer, because he's for sure going to get on the Jumbotron, and maybe that gets his little pub.
You show up with butterfly wings that light up.
Plus, he made me laugh a couple times. But
and I feel bad for calling him 70 years old.
But the motorcycle guy, like, just straight up ruined his back with Bruin stuff. And he's got a motorcycle that's covered... I'm going motorcycle guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Dude, he's tatted completely with Bruin stuff.
Wow.
I mean,
out of nowhere.
What? I mean, the guy's whole body is dedicated to the Bruins.
Uh-oh, Fred. I'm not going to say something till after the votes are in. I'm noticing a tattoo on his hand.
Oh, he has Bruins tattoos on both of his hands.
Whoa.
Oh, I mean, come on. I mean, that dude is into it.
All right. So,
I guess we got to leave it at all.
All right. So, do I vote for either one of the two guys?
No. Vote for whoever you want.
And then Dan will be the, or Nick, because he's been watching all this on Twitch.
That's true. We'll be the deciding vote. So, obviously, you want a guy who's passionate. Obviously, you want a guy that's going to get on the Jumbotron. But it's all about the noise you make for the team, right? It's all about the passion. That's one thing you learn from the Avengers over here. You got to be loud, and you got to be loud for long periods of time. I'm going with Stick Guy. guy. That's right. My man right there.
Young Nicholas, it's time to come in here.
It is a three-way tie.
And that
really
was not planned.
Nick pick the winner?
And that was not planned.
Oh, this is awesome, because Nick's heart might explode. No, but, how perfect is this?
But Stick Guy might cry.
Nick might cry. Nick is checking his pulse legitimately.
I like Stick Guy.
He's the guy with the fake heart, and he has all of these people right here who...
I want you to go
hands.
Through them. I want you to explain your thinking.
Oh, great.
Let's go!
Let's go! I think everybody brought a lot of energy today. So, but I have to say, I'm going with...
Explain.
I don't want to explain. I want to... fine. I liked your song.
How hard is it to say what you like?
Listen. All right. First off, I like the Chief and his outfit. I thought it's very nice and very, very Bruin-like.
He has wings.
The motorcycle guy, he's got obviously a ton of tattoos. And
super fans, if you want to object, super fan, you can do it anymore.
And then,
I'm out for being an idiot.
And then we have Bruin's guy, but I think I have to go with the Chief.
Winner.
All righty.
Everyone really was unbelievable. This was tough.
We're all winners this hour. Tell you.
All right. It came down to Nick. I wish I had tickets for everybody. I wish I had tickets for everybody.
Hey, but honestly, well done, gentlemen.
Great job, Xanadu. You'll see him out there. You'll see the Ultimate Warrior. You'll see a big, scary man guy. You're going to see. You won't be able to miss. Chief Wanamaker Cheer, who was kicked out of Disney World for wearing his outfit. Bruins guy, you had a great passion. I appreciate your videos. And I voted for you, tattoo motorcycle guy. You got straight up just Bruins tattoos on your hands. I want to thank the unexpected visit from the BWO.
Yeah.
And they're great Bruins fans. You can go to the at Toucher and Richer at 98.5, the Sports Hub accounts, and you can see photos of these guys.
Can we count on at least some of you gentlemen being on some Drunken Bruins recaps during these final few games?
For me, it's sober Bruins recap, but I'll be honest.
Oh, yeah, Xanadu doesn't.
Xanadu doesn't drink.
You can't drink and skate.
No, that's a bad idea.
All right, before we let you guys go, can we get one more thunderous cheer? Very good. Now, there you go. Nick, if you could, we have a couple minutes, if you could escort the gentleman out.
Oh, that's all right. We can break.
I don't want to break early. Then we got to do a lot more. None of this.
How about
Xanadu's got to get to school.
He's got classes to teach.
All right, let's get him out one by one. The BWO, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bruins Ric Flair.
Bruins Ric Flair.
Bruins Macho Man.
Bruins
Macho Man. Bruins. He's going to rip his shirt.
Yeah!
Let's
see it. Hold on! Go ahead. What you going to do? What you gonna do when Drukamania runs wild? Oh!
He ripped his T-shirt.
He ripped his T-shirt off. Bruins Ultimate Warrior number two. Thank you, Macho Man.
Take him out.
Okay. Bruins Motorcycle Guy, you were the man. What's your real name?
Chris.
Great job, Chris. You were the man. Oh, Seals. Excellent job, Seals. Well done. Bruins Guy. Great to see you, man. Keep making those
videos. Hey,
where can people see your videos, Bruins?
Twitch.tv/KMezzi on Instagram at KMezzi. KMEZZI. Live on 98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Bruins! You were the man, sir. Big scary man guy. As always, dude. It's been a long time, man. Bruins Ultimate Warrior.
Let's go, Bruins!
Yeah, let's go, Bruins, indeed. Chief Wanamaker, cheer. Congratulations.
The big scary man guy, huh? You want to tap in?
It's Zolak. Zolak came to say hi to the winners.
Hey, hang on. Should we have them record some drops for us?
Yeah, man.
Hey, whatever. Get them all back in.
No. Let's have them in another room.
Okay.
Okay. We got it.
Zolak!
There's those in here now.
All right, all right. Okay. We got to thank you guys.
We don't need any of that stuff.
It's just, give me a minute. Just give me a minute. Jesus, John.
John, shut up.
We should have had him yell, Bear Force One.
Who the hell? We should have done what? I just want to take a minute because I don't want to break early because it's going to be impossible to do the next hour of show. I mean, everyone's taking photos with these guys.
Did you hear that? Nick, just... Nick, open up the door.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's in our hallway.
Yeah, Xanadu just had to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Hey, he's got things to do. He's got life.
I think that went better than expected.
I thought it went great.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was time to end it when we ended it.
I thought it was hysterical. I thought we were going to be like angry at each other. And they're just like, no, man, we're bros.
There was a lot of camaraderie.
Yeah.
And then again, I think I saved a life today, by the way I voted. That dude had straight up Bruins tattoos on his hand.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely passionate.
I'm surprised you guys didn't vote for him.
Well, Nick's the one who's going to get killed.
Yeah.
Just the guy, like, he's devoted his life to that team.
I love it.
All right.
Well, send that one to the Marconis.
I just want to wash my hands, and they're still out there.
Now it's like, Zolak is, like, going to be the 15th most intense person in the studio today.
I'm kidding. All right, so we'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. You got to jump on it. Rich, what's going on?
So, you know, we talked earlier this morning about this brand new documentary that's going to be coming out. It was greenlit yesterday. ESPN announced it. There's no surprise. After the success of The Last Dance with Michael Jordan, they're like, you know what? What is this formula? How can we make essentially a sequel, something that could be as successful? And they just kind of got lazy and said, well, Michael Jordan was the greatest. Let's see if we can do it for the greatest other athlete that's living right now in Tom Brady. So they greenlit this thing that is called The Man in the Arena, which is set to air sometime next year, 9 hours long, 9 episodes, all about Tom Brady. And we've talked about this before. The reason that this isn't going to be anywhere near as successful or near as interesting as the Michael Jordan one was because Michael Jordan and all these guys, like Michael Jordan made a ton of enemies. And they're all not playing anymore, so all of them can talk trash and everyone else. Basically, there was like spray everywhere. Like, I mean, he was like, everyone's pissed. Even Scottie Pippen, who was one of Jordan's best friends, he's apparently livid at the way he was portrayed in this, and he's blaming Michael Jordan for all of it. So,
but
still, everyone's angry at Jordan, which kind of made it, you know, that means that it was a pretty good controversial documentary, made it worth watching, and it's just something you're not going to get with the Brady one. And you think about basketball players. Basketball players, almost more than any other sport, it seems like, they hold on to grudges. And if there's one thing that we know, the Celtics, the championship Celtics, they all seem to still hate Ray Allen. And that is a grudge that isn't going to go away anytime soon, it doesn't seem like. I mean, Ray Allen's still bitching about these guys. Like, he's not going to be at the banner raising when KG, ends up getting his number retiring when the Celtics do that next year. Like, they still hate him. And there's a story that Kendrick Perkins just told. By the way, I love Kendrick Perkins as an analyst. Kendrick Perkins has been phenomenal. He doesn't care. He'll tell any story about anyone. It's almost like there's no filter with this guy, but he just told a story. He was on a radio show, and I've never heard this. So we know that Rondo and Ray Allen hate each other, like more than even anyone else in that team. Rondo and Ray Allen really butted heads, and there were stories about the two of them getting into matches, having to get those two separated. This is something I did not know, and I don't know if this is a well-known story, but Kendrick Perkins just told it. It's about when the rumor started that Chris Paul was going to be available to the Celtics. Remember that? The whole deal that happened with New Orleans, and they were going to get rid of him, and there was all this talk about there was going to be a trade. Rondo, they'd already won a championship at this point. Rondo for Chris Paul and a couple other pieces. Well, listen to this story that Kendrick Perkins tells about Ray Allen and all of that.
You know, Chris Paul wanted out, I guess, you know, and there was rumors starting to circulate, and it was brought to the table that, you know, trade Rondo and get CP? Mm-hmm. And KG and Paul was like, nah, we ain't doing that. Like, as great as CP is, man, we just won the championship. We rocking with Dope. Like, he giving us everything that we need. But Ray was like, nah, let's do it. And what happened was Rondo ended up finding out about it, and that was it from there. It was even to the point where we brought boxing gloves to the gym, and they got on boxing gloves, Ray and Rondo. Like, they put on the gloves, and we made them box it out for about 2 or 3 minutes.
You guys had a fight club?
Man, we used to have fights. We used to have fights all the time. But that's the thing, I think, and Rondo never got over it.
So they apparently went 2 rounds of boxing between the two of them. They were so mad at each other that they brought gloves, and Rondo and Ray Allen actually fought each other in a gym in order to get their aggressions towards each other out. And I love that story too. It's like, everyone's like, nah, man, Rondo's our guy. We're going to roll with him. And Ray Allen's like, I kind of like Chris Paul, to be honest.
Well, Chris Paul's a better point guard. I can understand how Ray Allen would feel that way.
Ray Allen's like, guys, you know what? I really think, you know, one of them can shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. and still pass as well. So
sure. Yeah. Now I know that they're all.
Yeah, one's a Hall
assist.
Of Famer, and
one is not.
Yeah, one's kind of a pain in the ass.
Oh man, but I mean, that's the thing though, is that documentary has just gotten everybody pissed. So Scottie Pippen said he was beyond livid. You've got all these guys saying this. Meanwhile, during all of this, you've got Tommy Heinsohn sitting at home just watching whatever's on TV. Tommy Heinsohn did an interview recently and was asked about what he was doing at home.
Well, my girlfriend, she's got a very eclectic taste, so she is into everything. And I even got into Home and Garden Station, watching people rehab buildings. I found it fascinating.
I have a feeling that his girlfriend can turn on the television, and that's what Tommy's watching for like a month.
Yeah.
Like I don't see him getting that off anytime soon. Like, I just see, like, it's on HDTV. Well, I guess I'm going to have to watch it.
Turn on the TV network. Leave it to Beavers on.
Listen, leave it to Beavers. Oh, God bless. Rest in peace, Eddie Haskell.
Right.
But, I have a feeling that whatever's on television, unless someone comes into the house and changes the channel, Tommy's pretty much watching what's on television.
This David Bromstad is the Bill Russell of celebrity millionaire house-finding shows.
Say what you will about the guy, but the millionaire one that hits the lottery, guys. I'll tell you what, he's got pizzazz.
Yeah, guy's got pizzazz, I tell you.
He reminds me of a young Derek Sanderson with a mustache.
Well, it's great, too, because now everyone's speaking out about it. And that was another cool thing about the documentary, is that there's stories that haven't been told. And you know, Danny Ainge, there was a story about him playing golf and, you know, during the playoffs with Michael Jordan, which, you know, we had not heard about. But Danny Ainge followed up with that. And he said that also, that, like, later on during the Rodman years, he was supposed to continue to play golf with him. And I believe he's talking about during, you know, when Barkley was doing his thing with Phoenix. Well, let's take a listen.
When they were playing in the finals against the Jazz, I was in Utah, and Michael called me and said, hey, can you set up a tee time for tomorrow? And I said, this was during the finals. I said, yeah, tell me what time's your practice? He said, well, that's the deal. If I can make sure we keep Dennis in town, keep him from going to Las Vegas on the off night, then we won't have practice. That's Phil's coaching strategy there. Like, we don't have to have practice if Mike and Scotty can keep Dennis from going to Las Vegas on an off day.
Did you go golf with him?
No, he never called me back. So maybe they couldn't keep Dennis in town.
That's awesome. No, we knew that story, right? That's when Carmen Electra was naked on the floor with him when Jordan came in.
No, that's that's a different story.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's a different one. So this is more than just that one time.
different trip to Vegas during the season.
Because the trip to the one with Carmen Electra, he's naked on the floor, was during the regular season. Where he was gone for like, what, a week and a half? Two weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said he needed a vacation. No, the one during the playoffs, and I believe during the finals, was when Rodman left to do an appearance on the WCW as one of the members of the New World Order.
That's right.
Like, that's when he did that. Like, yes. Like, and Phil Jackson just let him do his thing, didn't really scold him, just was like, man, we need your 20 rebounds a game. I'm not going to bitch at you. And when he would show back up, he would perform. Like, he wouldn't wilt. It didn't affect his game. So what are you going to say to a guy like that? You know, are you going to bitch at him, or are you just going to kind of let him do his thing? It's worked before in the past.
Yeah.
Let him go.
Yeah. I mean, that's some would call that genius, my friend. Would call that genius. Let him go to L.A.
Well, Robert Parrish, he's even spoken out about this whole, you know, Michael Jordan. It's one of those things where, you know, is it good that he was kind of a dick to the players around him, or is he just being a dick? So did it motivate him? It's almost like the movie Whiplash, you know? And so Robert Parrish, you know, he was talking about how he was not intimidated by Michael Jordan when they played together. He was like, dude, I've got enough rings. You get out of my face. So Cedric Maxwell, who we all love, he's got his little podcast over at CLNS.com. And he had a story. He talked to Robert Parrish, and they discussed that incident. And here he is.
We proceeded to kick their butts like four straight games. Michael took offense to it. So I asked him, how did he like that butt whooping?
No. This is a real podcast. How you like that ass whooping? That's
well,
why
I didn't know whether it was a family issue or not.
This ain't family. We good.
But since I don't have to use a filter, I asked him, how did he like that ass whooping we just put on him? And he took offense to it because clearly no one ever manned up to him and challenged him. So he said that if I wasn't careful, he was going to kick my ass. And I told him, like, I'm not in awe of you. I play with some of the baddest fellas that walk in the court, and I reel off some names, you know. I'm calling you like Cedric, the Bird, Mikhail, Bill Walton, Tiny, and I'm supposed to be in awe of you. You know, he's looking at me like I had slapped his mother.
So one of the few people actually told him what he thought and taught him to get out of his face, Mr. Robert Parrish. Because the man had the rings to do it.
He also had the weed. He was very bold. It did not make him paranoid at all.
He liked weed.
Very
yes,
lucky
he did.
Man. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up already? I mean,
well,
what is going to go on?
We have a little bit of an update, Fred, on the negotiations between the Players Association and the owners in baseball. Are we one step closer or one step back when it comes to the baseball season? On top of that, let's get to that documentary I found on Netflix that will give you nightmares.
I just like that the guys conceded to do it. Like, they were like, yeah, sure. Sounds like a good idea for my future. I think I'll let them do a documentary on how weird I am. All right, so we'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Hey, I will have something for you in just one moment. I will have just what's going on. Do not fear. I just had to turn my phone on because my wife has my computer. Here in the meantime, it's Milo's birthday tomorrow, so if he wants to say something. All right, here you go, Milo.
Sup.
Sup.
Sup, Milo.
Nothing much.
Happy birthday, big man. What you planning on doing for your big day?
Me, for my breakfast, I'm going to have Lucky Charms and pancakes.
Nice.
That is cool.
And then for lunch, I'm going to have Chick-fil-A. And then for dinner, we're going to have pizza from Buddy's Pizza from Detroit.
Oh, nice. So, so you ordered that pizza in? So special pizza for your dinner?
What? No, we were going to have it like 2 days ago, but I wanted it on my birthday, and I thought it would make more sense.
Oh, man, that sounds like a perfect birthday. Yeah. Now, is your dad letting you spend money on Fortnite for your birthday, like to buy some, like a bunch of skins?
I don't think I'll be playing any video games. I think.
I'm probably going to be staying
on the boat most of the day while going like tubing and kneeboarding, wakeboarding.
Oh, very
that
nice.
Sounds like an awesome day, Milo.
With my sister.
Whatever weird sauce that was sprinkled on you to stay away from video games, I would like some of that to get to my family.
Yeah.
But that sounds amazing. Well, awesome. Are you enjoying your time in Tennessee? You avoiding the rednecks?
I don't know.
What are rednecks?
Rednecks are the people usually missing teeth, wearing the locals. They're wearing University of Georgia hats.
I've only seen our neighbors.
Oh.
Okay. Well, that's it. Well, good. Well, then you're staying safe from some of the local wildlife then. All right. Well, happy birthday, Milo.
Yes, happy birthday, Milo.
Have a good one. Bye. Fred?
Yo, yo.
Who's it? Fred, you're back. Hey,
no,
how's it going, Fred?
No, it's Zoe. It's Zoe's
back. This is Fred. How are you doing, Fred?
No, Fred.
What's it like being a dad to such an awesome daughter like Zoe?
I don't know.
Fred, what is your favorite thing to watch with Zoe?
What's her favorite thing to watch?
What's your favorite thing about
that TV? I don't know.
It's not Jersey Shore anymore?
Jersey Shore?
Who's your favorite person on Jersey Shore?
I don't know.
You don't know. So that's you don't have one anymore.
No.
Oh, okay. So it's not Pauly D anymore.
No.
It was never
Pauly
D. It was always
Jay Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Jay Wow. But of the guys, Pauly D's he's the guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, no one's any fun except for Pauly D anymore. Because you got Vinny. He's all keto. And then you got the situation. He ain't drinking or doing no drugs. He's got his biceps back. So I mean, I mean, there's only a couple people left. All right, there you go. That is, I forgot about that tradition, and there I have to do it.
Oh, nice.
All right, what's going on, Rich?
Oh, I thought you were looking for something on your computer that was like the sponsor.
Oh, I did. Thank you. I'm a little haggard here.
Okay, no problem. Do a Dan a solid.
The stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. Has anyone else noticed that a iPhone is impossible to turn on now? It takes like 8 years for it to turn on, and then I'm always concerned I'm doing it wrong. So maybe no one else is feeling that way. But that's how I feel.
Okay.
That's how I feel, damn it.
All right. Well, I mean, there's times, and Dan can attest to this, where, you know, there's certain phones you can send a ton of texts and not realize that 3 days worth of text didn't go through.
Like yesterday, yes.
Like with Dan yesterday. So what happened was, I told Dan, I was like, I think that what you can do in that case is turn your phone off. And then when you turn it back on, they all get shot out. So all of a sudden this morning, I get like six texts from Dan.
17 of them went out at 6:30 this morning. So the people that weren't awake were very happy to hear from me.
Like, I sent you guys a message, and Dan, the first thing was he goes, like, on the microphone, he goes, hey, I'm really sorry that I tried to send you a text and it didn't go through. And I'm like,
Fred, I took a screenshot of it. Just because I
know.
I was like, damn it, I didn't reply the other day. Yeah, I'm a terrible person. So.
No, it's... There's a lot of stuff.
No, I'm a terrible person.
If you ever don't want to not text me back, I think you got a couple weeks here where that's not going to be an issue.
Well, listen, all I know is that every time I think that we're going to get baseball back or one step closer to it, it looks like they start going in the other direction. And
which what is insane. Which is insane because if you're concerned with the coronavirus, it is the game that by far, I guess professional tennis, but it's a game that you can safely play.
That's not the problem, though, Fred. They'll go back and forth on player safety, but it's not the problem.
No, I know that, but what I'm saying is that's why it's so ridiculous. They're not afraid of getting the coronavirus. They want to get paid.
Yep.
And so, but it's frustrating because the more information that comes out about the way coronavirus, they think, you know, stays on surfaces, makes you think, well, Jesus, I mean, they could play baseball today. And, mm-hmm. you know, maybe in front of empty stadiums or half full or whatever the hell you want to do. But the idea that they can't get it together. And by the way, they can't afford to lose this season.
That they were going to have to cut their salaries. Their thing was like, you haven't even given us any indication what you're going to do medically. And they were just like, well, here's the Bible. Here's like a huge stack of papers. Go through it. Well, the Players Association delivered back their proposal after they read all that. And among the topics, according to Jeff Passan, the things that they had the most concern about was protection for high-risk players and family members, frequency of testing, the protocol for when you get a positive, the need for pre- and post-game therapy. That's something that's been a massive stick point with them, especially for pitchers being able to use these hydrotherapy type things, and the medical personnel at the stadium. These are things that they find extremely important besides the money. Now, the one thing I will give you, Fred, is that the smallest bit of positivity comes from Ken Rosenthal. First, he thinks that it's not going to end up being what the owners want, a 50-50 split, and they will budge. Here is Ken Rosenthal on that.
I don't believe that they're going to agree to a revenue-sharing plan at all. In fact, it's possible that Dave's baseball, after entertaining the idea, does not even bring it to the players because it receives such a strong and immediate poor reaction from them. I expect they will ask the players to take a pay cut, but through some other mechanism other than a 50-50 revenue split.
Whatever that would be.
I can't wait to find out what that is. Apparently, the money proposal will hit the union desk early next week. And just getting back to the injuries, you guys know as well as I do, there are going to be a bunch of them, especially early in this season. Pulled hamstrings, strained arms, elbow problems, and that's where therapy comes in. And I don't care how big the taxi squad is, if you are a team that is good enough to make the playoffs, if you're loaded, I mean, the last thing the Yankees need is Gerrit Cole to have a sore elbow or a pulled hamstring. And so therapy is so important, especially the first month of this 82-game season. I don't know how they're going to work their way around
it. Well, John, they should be in training right now. I mean, it should be today.
You're right. They should be.
I mean, they should be doing it today.
But they're not. So.
No. I mean, whenever the owners are crying poor and, things were different in March, I mean, Rich and I have disagreements with that. But, I mean, if they could see the forest through the trees, you could be playing not competitive games, but you could be in training right now, today.
And the worst part about this is, Fred, this is the warm-up to the main event, which is in December of next year. When the labor agreement expires, then we're going to go right back into what we're experiencing right now times 10.
Right. So can you imagine if they can't get it together this year, chances are they're not going to be able to get it together at the end of the year. And
they've
baseball
come,
might very well die.
They've come so close to destroying this sport, what, five times in our lifetime and eight times overall? I mean, this is one of those turning points in the history of the sport the next 2 years. How they handle this will determine whether or not people under the age of 50 will actually watch this thing.
Yeah. I mean, they can't afford – if I'm a player – because, the vast majority of players aren't making, $40 million a year. But regardless, they're all wealthy. But I want to play, and I can play. There's nothing stopping us from training right now. There's they could get things set up in 2 days. Ugh, it drives me nuts. Well, I mean, here we are. We're going to have basketball where you're rubbing up against each other and practicing indoors in gyms. And they seem to get that together, but here you have a pastoral game that is played outside where you're less likely to get the coronavirus. Plus, you have your own bat, so the ball is the one thing that you're worried about. And I understand holding a runner on it first, but that amount of but comparatively to other sports, it's nothing. It's nothing. So, I mean, I don't know. I like baseball, and it just seems like they don't care. And that's that.
Well, Ken Rosenthal, I will say this. He believes that despite all this back and forth, that this is going to get done.
I got to tell them they get it done. And there's no choice, really. Because if you go dark for 18 months and don't play this year, right, and then go dark for 18 months, that's what would happen, obviously. That would suck the life out of your sport. The financial losses would be hurtful to the owners. The lost year would be devastating to a lot of players. and it's just a bad outcome. You'd be taking your sport into a place worse than you did in 94, 95 when you had a strike.
Yep. Now, as you were saying, Fred, I mean, you know, you're looking at basketball, and basketball seems to be on top of things. I mentioned earlier about how to avoid them getting crushed in the public about using so many tests, because you would need a ton of tests to do things the way that ideally you'd want to do it. Think about right. it. Every player, every manager, you know, if coaches testing every day, it would take up a ton. And they're talking about how they are going to utilize, or the plan is to utilize, group tests where an entire team would combine all their tests into one, like all their blood samples into one test. If it's clean, then the team is clean. If there's any kind of infection, then what they do is they divide them into groups and so on and so on, and it saves a ton of different tests. And I think that if they're going to try to jump into this like next month with the lack of tests that the country has, that's probably a good move, just perception wise.
Once again,
NBA on top of it, you know, they're thinking right. of everything, every roadblock that they could have, and they're at least trying to come up with an answer for all of them.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. As a right. matter of fact, you've even got guys like Charles Barkley who said that, listen, if he had a kid who was in the NBA, he doesn't know if he'd want him to play.
I do not think it's safe. I would not want my kid until we know more about what can happen. We need to wait until we're closer to a treatment or a vaccine. But listen, money is going to run this thing, and that's really unfortunate.
Yeah, all right. I would make an argument. Well, listen, first of all, Charles Barkley's kid's not going to have to do anything. I mean, but that's besides the point. Is that
if he doesn't lose at gambling, yeah,
right. Well, yeah. If Barkley, I said, well, we've always seen that video of him chugging a bottle of Patron, which was very, very, very impressive. But I gotta believe that, you know, there's people like us that, you know, I mean, I'm in a really safe place right now. But I mean, if we go to the store or we go somewhere, we're in far more greater danger than someone in a multi-billion-dollar industry who's a commodity that they can't afford to get sick. So I think that there's far worse places to be than an NBA training facility if you're concerned about the coronavirus. I mean, like you said, Rich, I don't know where you would get tested. I mean, Lockhart got it at a nursery school or an elementary school. Who the hell knew you could do that? Yeah. I mean, I have a friend who travels whose company got him it, but I don't know how he did it or what happened. So, I mean, they're going to get tested. They're going to be – everything's going to be sanitized beyond anything that we could have ever seen. And I'd be much more comfortable being a professional athlete than I would being a lot of people that have to go out and work.
Well, this is going to be interesting, not only with basketball, but baseball. I mean, we've already seen guys like Mike Trout. There's an element of players who just don't need this right now. You know, they've right. got enough money, and the starting with the playoffs makes things a little bit differently, but it makes things a little bit different. But James Harden spoke out, and he's one of the rare voices in basketball right now who seems to be wanting a little more caution before stepping into things. He said, there's so many things that have to be figured out. He was on CNBC. He goes, I want it to be safe. He said he would prefer the virus to come all the way down to a minimum before anyone returns to the court. So he said that right now it's not at a place where he wants it to be. You know, you would have to have the numbers continue to go okay. to a point where it almost seems negligible.
Of all the players, he doesn't play defense, and he shoots from half court.
So he's not going to touch anybody.
That's out of all. He's very rarely right. on the bench.
I mean, and if anyone touches him, everyone there's a whistle and everyone stops.
So. Yeah, and everyone. I mean, how often do you think he touches someone during the course of a game? Three times? James Harden, of all people.
It's
sitting there bitching about it. Yeah, I think you'll get away with the half-court shots and not playing defense. Like literally not playing defense. I think that you'll be okay. But, I mean, these are all questions, but believe me, you get enough billionaires in a room and these questions get answered.
And it is weird, too, because another guy who has been speaking out about not wanting to jump the gun is Mark Cuban. That guy's an owner. He's got power in all this league. But, despite Mark Cuban, you know, Adam Silver and the league themselves have done everything to indicate that we got a green light. And right. John, did you? I thought I heard you mention something about actual dates right now.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you say?
This is from Keith Smith, who we've been talking about the last couple of days from
Disney.
Yahoo.
Him and Dan Rose should be best friends.
He had talked to a couple of executives on a couple of teams, and the NBA has a rough outline at how they want the next year to go. They have practices beginning in the middle of next month. Everyone will travel to one location. Games beginning by mid-July. Playoffs should end on or around Labor Day. Then they'll have the draft in mid-September, free agency after that. And then the following season, the 2020-21 season, will start on or around Christmas. We've talked about all of that. But the one other thing that he mentioned is that the NBA is going to try and get in 82 games next year, starting at Christmas and ending by the end of June.
No.
So they're going to condense
no.
it.
Well,
no. That's what they – well, they have to because the Olympics are next July. So they have to get it in before the Olympics start in Tokyo
July. What I mean is you don't need a full season. Like, I know that they want it for the money. Everyone's lost a lot of money.
Exactly.
But it just, I mean, I guess that's not too far extended, to be quite honest. That's not too bad. I wouldn't mind that.
But the most important piece of news is, remember we were talking about, well, starting the season on Christmas Day every year isn't a bad thing. Well, it looks like the NBA only wants this to be a one-year thing, and they'll go back to starting seasons in October in 2021.
It depends how it works out, I guess. All right, people are aware I'm working next week, right? And I'm off the following week?
I think so.
Okay, good.
We're all off Monday, though, right?
Yeah.
We are.
Okay.
I have a forced vacation.
I have not, and perfectly honest with you, Fred, I have not heard officially, you know, but no one's here either, so...
Right. So,
I
am working next week and I am off the following week.
We'll be so here on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yep, Tuesday. All right, everyone have a fantastic weekend.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.